Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Three Up, Three Down, your weekly baseball podcast. We hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend as we're coming to you at the end of Memorial Day. A lot of baseball teams with touching tributes. You saw God Bless America sung across the stadiums in America. The Stars and Stripes hats being worn by all Major League Baseball teams. Teams bringing in soldiers returning home from Afghanistan and Iraq to surprise their families. Especially saw it in Minnesota and Atlanta. We hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Always thinking about the troops that have passed to support our freedom here in America. Hopefully you did squeeze in some baseball watching on this Memorial Day. Some pretty good games this past weekend. Let me get to this week in baseball with my baseball roundtable. We're going to start it off with Jeremy Dorn representing the National League West. Say hi, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Kurt Peter representing the National League Central.
What's going on?
Brian Boynton representing the American League West.
Hello, all.
And Angelo Felicia representing the American League Central.
Hey, everybody.
And I am your host, Brian Mapes, representing the National League East. We're going to start it off with the big news these past couple of days. Aces being folded. Roy Halladay leaves his start yesterday with a sore shoulder after giving up a grand slam to Yadi Molina. And while Jared Weaver just gets through three batters this evening against the Yankees, he leaves with what looked like a leg injury being reported as a lower back injury. I'm going to open it up already to you guys. We don't know the official MRI or anything yet for these two big studs. Which injury are you more worried about? We're going to start it off with the AL West guy, because Jared Weaver's involved in this. Brian, which are you more worried about, Roy Halladay or Jared Weaver?
I'm not really worried about either one. No, it'd be Roy Halladay, because the Phillies are having trouble scoring runs, and the only way that they win is by pitching. So having their ace out is going to hurt them. Whereas with Jared Weaver, the Angels have other starters who can pick it up, and they score runs efficiently. So they're still going to get their wins with Albert Pujols starting to hit the ball now. Mike, the emergence of Mike Trout. Roy Halladay's the bigger injury.
KP, which ace are you more worried about, Weaver or Halladay?
I agree with the doc because, I mean, he's been perennially top five. I mean, pitchers every year he comes out to perform, and the Phillies are struggling, like Brian said. It's someone that they need to take control of the mound. I mean, the Angels, yeah, they're struggling as well. But, I mean, I think they've got a little more firepower on the offense than the Phillies do right now with all their injuries.
Angelo, over to you. Who are you more worried about?
I'm going to also go with Doc Halladay I think the Weaver thing isn't really known exactly what's wrong. I know it's just like a lower back injury, and that's what the diagnosis is, but there's been a couple complaints now, two starts in a row, that Roy had some shoulder soreness, so I think it just seems to be more serious there.
Jeremy, last thoughts on your worry level for these two pitchers.
Sounds like it's going to be a sweep. I mean, I think it's Halladay too, because like everyone's been saying, the Phillies don't exactly score runs in bunches. You know, the Angels aren't an epic offense either, but they do have better hitters, and Halladay hasn't really been himself this whole year, so it's definitely worrisome. Hopefully it's not a long-term thing, and hopefully for both teams, since they're trying to climb their way back into contention, they can get those aces back soon.
That last little part is Roy Halladay hasn't been very good this year, which is why I'm going the opposite way. I think Jared Weaver I would be more worried about. That guy has completely stepped up for the Angels. Both teams have deep-ish rotations, probably the Angels a little more deep now as the Phillies are also missing Vance Worley right now, but I think I'm a little more worried about Jared Weaver, especially the way he came off the mound today, grimacing very badly, couldn't even take another warm-up pitch to try and see if he was okay. Gonna move it over signings in the middle of the season. This is great. We're gonna talk about something that's not the DL for a little bit. Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles, center fielder, all-star a couple seasons ago, off to a tremendous start, gets a 6-year, $85.5 million extension with escalators up to $91.5 million. Adam Jones has been on fire this season, tied for second in the American League with 14 home runs, hitting over 300, also with 8 stolen bases. He's probably a lock right now for his second All-Star game appearance. I'm going to bring you guys in. Andrew McCutchen signed earlier in the offseason to an extension at 6 years, $51.5 million. With a club option for 2018. Which player would you rather have for the next 6 years? Adam Jones or Andrew McCutchen? We're going to start it off with you, KP.
I'm more of an Adam Jones fan than I am an Andrew McCutchen fan, mainly because I think he hits for more power. He's more consistent at the plate. And I don't know, Andrew McCutchen just seems a little off. He's kind of like, I know he's not like Nigel Morgan, but I always kind of imagine him as kind of like, he's a little interesting.
All right, Angelo, over to you. Who would you rather have for the next 6 years, Adam Jones or Andrew McCutchen?
I'd rather have Andrew McCutchen. I've just been a big fan of his since I started seeing him play in the majors. And, I think he's got just more upside. I don't know. I'm actually not a huge fan of Adam Jones.
How dare you?
Controversy.
Brian, over to you. Who would you rather have, Adam Jones or Andrew McCutchen?
Well, like KP said, I think Adam Jones hits for more power. He's a little more consistent. They're both about the same age. Adam Jones, 26. I think McCutchen's 25. Can't go wrong either way. They're both all-star caliber center fielders. But I'm going to have to give it to Adam Jones based on his offensive proclivities.
Ooh.
Nice word.
Spell Thank that. You. I can't spell it.
You must be watching the spelling bee coming up soon.
Nope.
Jeremy, I don't know why I went to you last again, but your thoughts on Adam Jones versus Andrew McCutchen. Who would you rather have for the next half dozen years?
Is it because I made fun of the Braves earlier? I'm sorry.
Sorry. It's probably warranted.
You know, those, like everyone's been saying, they're both really, you know, they're young, they're talented, they're on the way up. They're both really great center fielders. You can't really go wrong picking either one for a player, but if I'm picking a contract, I guess I'll take the same amount of years for $30 million less with McCutchen.
Fair enough. I think Adam Jones is probably the better player. I think they're similar guys, but I'll agree with Jeremy on this one. I'll take the cheaper contract, keep $30 million in my pocket to go get another player, and I will take Andrew McCutchen patrolling center field. Not the only signing, though. It was Adam Jones. Miguel Montero gets a 5-year extension, $60 million with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Jeremy, I know you've been all over your catcher, A.J. Ellis, but how big of a deal is this catcher signing for the Diamondbacks?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, Montero's been a stud. He's no A.J. Ellis. I mean, not many are, but sorry, I had to say that. No, Montero's solid. He's just getting better. So, I mean, as much as I'm going to hate to see him in a D-backs uniform for 5 more years, that's a really, really smart signing by Arizona.
$12 million a year for Miguel Montero. You know who's probably drooling over this? Brian McCann's agent. You know who is terrified about this? Brian McCann fan, Brian Mapes. Because that means he's going to go for a lot more than that probably in free agency. And the Braves might be on a little bit of a budget, and I sadly could see Brian McCann go, and I'm not going to be happy about it at all.
Gonna,
Gonna keep it in the catching realm. Carlos Santana to the 7-day DL, the brand new 7-day DL with a concussion. Jack Hanahan, also of the Indians, to the 15-day DL with a strained calf. They call up Lonnie Chisenhall, who, a prospect called up last season, got a cup of coffee, comes up today, hits a home run for the Indians. Angelo, what are your thoughts on Chisenhall being brought back up, and should there be any lingering effects, you think, with Carlos Santana's concussion?
Ask me what I think or what I hope. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I think Chisenhall, you know, is a solid player. I guess with this day and age in concussions, they're always going to take the extra precaution now, and I don't know if Santana will be back as soon as we might all think he should be from a concussion. I mean, if you take, I don't know, we're going to switch sports, but like the Sidney Crosby thing, he was out for such a long time, for those of you that follow hockey. I mean, the Santana thing could keep him out half the year. We don't know. So yeah, that could be devastating for them.
Remember seeing Jason Bay just getting a concussion. Same thing with Justin Morneau of the Minnesota Twins, just being out for extended months. You didn't think that they could be that affected in baseball. David Wright as well also had to deal with some concussions, actually went to the thicker, bigger helmet to protect himself. But these concussions, the more information that comes out, the worse sports looks like, it seems. Angela, I'm going to stick with you here. Austin Jackson, your boy, setting the table for the Tigers offense to the 15-day DL of an abdominal strain. How worried are you about this? Who's taking over in the outfield for the Tigers?
Well, I'm not worried actually at all, because he should be back in a few days here already, because the 15-day DL stint was retroactive. And he looks to be, you know, just fine as far as everything on schedule. But as far as who's taking over and who's doing a great job of doing so is Quinton Berry. I think he's been just over .350 now. Anybody caught the highlight from yesterday's game? He made an outstanding catch in the eighth inning to rob, I think it was Willingham that hit that ball? I forget, really. But to rob him basically of a triple, so just a diving over the head catch. So Barry's been a nice fill-in, but Jackson's still Austin Jackson, and he's been raking this year, which is nice, so I'm not worried.
Quinton Berry has been very solid. If he doesn't make that catch, the Twins get another run, and then all of a sudden Miguel Cabrera's game-winning home run is just a game-tying one. It might be a little different. There might not have been a sweep at Target Field this past weekend, if not for Mr. Quinton Berry. Gonna go over to my division, the National League East. Gonna knock these out pretty rapid fire here. Chipper Jones to the DL, left leg contusion. Took a line drive off of it. Of course, they thought it would only be a few days, as always with Chipper Jones. Maybe a couple days of rest and he'll be fine. Not this time. Of course, he pinch hit in a game, so the retroactiveness got eliminated. He will spend a considerable amount of time here to recover from that. The Braves are 7-19 this season without Chipper Jones in the lineup, so they need him back as soon as possible, as they are in a complete tailspin right now. Justin Turner of the New York Mets, a nasty little dive back into first base today. Looked like he broke his ankle. Thankfully, just a sprained ankle. He will go to the DL. And last bit of news from the National League East, Juan Carlos Oviedo, the artist formerly known as Leo Nunez, got a visa this week. He will be coming back to America to pitch for the Marlins as Juan Carlos Oviedo. He is still suspended for 8 weeks by Major League Baseball, so we won't be seeing him anytime soon. Going to go over to the National League Central. An old friend is back, KP, in the National League Central. Carlos Marmol called returning from the DL. The Cubs closer, who was the Cubs closer, Rafael Dolis, sent to the minors. Not a lot of things to save, though, for the Cubs as they break their 12-game losing streak today. Do you think that Marmol will eventually get back to that closer role, or do you think we see James Russell, Sean Kemp take that over?
As far as I'm concerned with the Cubs, I feel like they're going to just try to patch together whatever they can late in the innings if they're ahead. So I don't know that. I mean, Marmol's kind of been there close the last few years, so he's obviously comfortable. But the fans kind of hate him right now. So I don't know if they're just going to throw him back in there to the Wolves per se and just say, hey, show us what you got. But it'll be, I mean, they haven't won, so it's hard to compare.
Things are definitely a mess in Wrigleyville right now. Theo Epstein has a lot of work ahead of him. Going to go over to Jeremy, your favorite team, dealing with a little bit of their own injuries in the rotation. Ted Lilly to the DL with shoulder inflammation, but a big-name reserve, not reserve, but a big-name acquisition might be on the way. What do you have for us over in L.A.?
Yeah, you know, it's a bummer to hear Lilly go out. I think some people were actually wondering if something was wrong because his last start, he got rocked. But, you know, he's been great so far this year. But apparently, you know, I just heard before we started this thing that Roy Oswalt got an offer from the Dodgers. So, I mean, if he's full strength, if he can come back and make, you know, a midseason return or something, then that's quite a fill-in for Ted Lilly. And I mean, no matter how good the Dodgers' starting rotation has been so far this year, it's obviously not going to last, as much as I hate to say that. You know, I can't expect Chris Capuano to maintain a 2-point-something ERA all year and Ted Lilly to, you know, go 15, 16 wins or anything crazy like that. So all the help you can get with an established veteran like Oswalt, I'll take it.
I'm sure you can bill him on a lot of money from Magic Johnson, plus that stadium's still a good pitcher's park. A nice little landing spot for Roy Oswalt over in Los Angeles if he does indeed sign with the Dodgers. Jeremy, I'm going to get you out on this question. Matt Kemp crushing in his rehab assignment in Albuquerque. How excited are you for his return?
I mean, how can I even describe? I mean, first of all, it's been amazing, surprising, call it whatever you want, that this whole DL stint with Kemp out, the Dodgers only lost one game of ground to the Giants in the West. That's awesome in itself, but, you know, getting Kemp back, especially the way he seems to be healthy, he went 5-for-7 in his rehab stint, couple homers, 5 RBIs, just, you know, doing what Matt Kemp does. So it can only electrify this offense that's kind of been chugging by on timely walk-offs from, you know, AAA players and, I don't know, AJ Ellis. So, yeah, definitely excited to get Kemp back in the middle of the lineup there.
I saw what you did there, plugging that they didn't lose much ground to the Giants with Kemp out, a reference to me saying the Giants would cut into this lead before Kemp came back. I was wrong, all right? I'm sorry.
Wah-ha-ha.
I'm sorry that I underestimated your Dodgers. Last two pieces of news for us this week. Cody Ross to the DL for the Red Sox, the 7th different outfielder to hit the DL for the Boston Red Sox this season. Luckily, they get back Ryan Sweeney today, so now only 6 on the DL officially. And last bit of news, John Danks to the DL, retroactive to May 20th with shoulder soreness, but it doesn't matter when Chris Sale is dropping 15 strikeouts in 7 1/3 innings. Angelo, are the White Sox done messing with him? Is Chris Sale a starter officially forever now?
He should be. I think we had this discussion 2 weeks ago about what I thought about what Chris Sale was and moving him to the bullpen, and I thought he was a good pitcher. I think tonight he proved that he can definitely pitch in this league and pitch as a starter, and I think they should be done messing with him, yes.
But I just like asking it every week because it doesn't seem like the White Sox ever know.
Hey, they're slowly moving up the leaderboard there in the AL Central.
That's 27-22. They are definitely been a surprise so far this season. And lastly, breaking news. We're going to have to go back to KP's Brewers injury corner with the K's and everything. Not Kelsey's, KP's. KP, what has happened in Milwaukee? One of our special three-up players going to the DL.
Well, it wouldn't be a week in baseball if a Brewer didn't go to the DL. So, with that being said, catcher Jonathan Lucroy, who was three-up, I think, 2 weeks ago for us, was, I don't know, he said he was looking for a sock on the ground from what I heard on the telecast today, and his wife dropped a suitcase on his hand. And so he's out 4 to 6 weeks now with a fractured right hand, and that's not good for us because he's hitting 345. We're going to have to see how George Gutierrez is going to hold up. And, I mean, it'll be interesting. It's not like we're, I don't want to say it's not like we're playing well right now, but we're not playing that well right now, but it certainly is going to hurt losing that power and that production with that batting average.
You still married to her after that?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, Jonathan Lucroy had been one of the biggest surprises so far this season. As you said, KP, that 345 average, putting in a bid for a National League catcher all-star bid, even though wasn't likely with the depth at that position. But we're going to go, before we get to three up, three down fantasy, our other surprises and disappointments so far this season. Memorial Day, of course, being the first big totem pole of the season to see where you're at in the standings, whether fantasy, real life, whatever. But we're going to talk about our biggest surprises and disappointments so far this season. We're going to start it off with you, Brian. What is your biggest surprise and disappointment this season?
My biggest surprise is actually two. It's Paul Konerko, Adam Dunn. What they're doing in Chicago, I know they have a history of being very good offensively, but the ridiculous numbers they've been putting up this year is just crazy. And I'm going to have to go with who we talked about earlier, Roy Halladay, is my disappointment because he has been bad all year, and now he's just he's hurt now. So he's just been a disappointment all the way around.
All right, over to you, Angelo. What has been your biggest surprise and disappointment this season?
My biggest surprise is my biggest disappointment, and that's my own Detroit Tigers. Just not getting it together. Their bullpen is just not as good as it was last year. They're two games below 500, four games back in the division. Their run differential is minus five, which is just ridiculous for that offense. I don't know. I thought maybe things would have turned around going into the Cleveland series. Then we got swept. Thankfully, we managed to sweep the lowly Minnesota Twins. So I don't know. We'll see. We're in the middle of a big four-game series against Boston. We'll see what happens.
All right. That took the wind out of my sails. I was going to take the Tigers as my biggest disappointment. Now I'm going to have to go back, retool this. So I'm going to send it over to Jeremy, who is your biggest surprise and disappointment so far this season?
Well, you guys are going to get sick of me talking about this guy. I know you four already are, but the listeners, you know, I'm going with my boy AJ Ellis again, right? That name again, but I was one of the guys who kind of counted catcher as an offensive black hole coming into the season for the Dodgers. You know, always complaining, man, I wish Russell Martin would come back, blah, blah, blah. Mike Piazza, hell, give me anyone. But AJ Ellis hitting 317, on-base percentage is 440, and he just hit a walk-off the other day against the Astros. So, I mean, he's been more than anyone ever expected. That's my biggest surprise for sure. Biggest disappointment, I'm happy to report, as a Dodger fan, is the Giants' former ace, Tim Lincecum, who's still, at this point of the season, a 6.41 ERA, 1.61 whip. And it's not really just, you know, a few bad starts peppered in with a bunch of average ones. It's a bunch of bad, bad starts in a row. I think people started to get worried last year when his velocity was down, and I don't know what's going on, but the kid's just lost it. And if the Giants, honestly, even with the other pitching they have, if the Giants want to contend this year, they really need Tim to turn it around.
I just did a Google search. I typed in AJ Ellis's agent. It's not Jeremy, surprisingly.
If it was,
we might be able to steal that client the way you talk about him. Kurt, over to you. Who is your biggest surprise and disappointment so far this season?
It kind of comes together. Angelo kind of started my little ball here, but it's kind of just teams in general, like surprising and disappointing. Obviously, Detroit hasn't been doing as well as advertised. Some other ones that I'm surprised about, the Angels. I mean, they were highly touted, making a bunch of moves. The Brewers, they lost Prince Fielder and, upgraded, I'd say, with not Unieski Betancourt and getting Alex Gonzalez, but they've been plagued by injuries, so they're eight games now under 500. I mean, Boston, the Yankees, I don't want to say that 24 for Boston's a disappointment, and the Yankees are five game up, but Baltimore is the surprise for me at 29-20. I mean, they're killing it. Same with Washington. They also made a lot of moves. Their roster's big. I mean, just a lot of teams that you don't usually see up top. I mean, you'd expect Boston or the Yankees to be probably leading division this early in the season because they do all that. So it's kind of, just the whole league is almost a surprise.
All right. That brings me to my surprise. The Boston, New York not leading the AL East. You know who is? Well, at least tied for the lead. The Baltimore Orioles. They are my biggest surprise. Buck Showalter's team is playing great baseball. And just everybody is clicking. Wei-Yin Chen in that rotation, a great pickup for them. Jason Hamill, everybody thought, why are the Orioles trading for Jason Hamill and giving up their number one starter in Jeremy Guthrie? That trade has worked out very well for them. Jim Johnson in the bullpen just been absolutely lights out. Adam Jones gets the big extension. Matt Wieters has probably made himself into the best catcher in the American League. Baltimore might be for real, and they will be contending at the end. My biggest disappointment, easily you could always say Albert Pujols, but he has picked things up at late. I'm going to go to my ex-boyfriend before Giancarlo. It was Eric Hosmer.
Scared me for a second, babe.
I still like Eric Hosmer, but when he's just crossing the Mendoza line today, hitting .202 on the year, maybe he's snapping out of it with a home run today, but Hosmer has been an utter disappointment in his sophomore season. A little bit of the other way, you thought Mike Moustakas, you thought Hosmer would be doing what Mike Moustakas is doing in his second year. Those are our surprises and disappointments here at the Memorial Day mark of the season. Going to move it over to three up, three down fantasy. Three up, starting it off with a guy that I finally saw on TV the past couple days. I think he is the future new Matt Stairs. He's that beefy. KP, who is your three up player?
Recently called up player Matt Adams for the St. Louis Cardinals. He's only played 9 games, just got called up a few weeks ago. But he's currently killing the ball, batting .382. He's got 13 hits, 5 of them being doubles. One, he just hit a home run 2 days ago. I mean, he's certainly picked up where Lance Berkman fell off. So, I mean, he's slugging .618. It's hard to compare anyone else. So if you want a quick hot bat, I don't know how long it'll last. Hopefully a long time for you potential fantasy players. But, he's certainly holding his own in the big leagues and on that Cardinals lineup.
Good corner infield fill-in, especially if you lost Lance Berkman. He's still going to get a ton of playing time, Berkman, out at least another 7 weeks of that torn meniscus, owned in just 19% of fantasy leagues. Jeremy, over to you. Who is your three-up player this week, and you didn't pick a Dodger? I am so proud of you.
You know I tried, though. I lobbied for about half the roster, but we settled on a Diamondback, one who I think might be potentially their only All-Star this year. That's Wade Miley. You know, he's just on fire this year. He's 6-1 now. ERA is 2.41, and his whip's decent, 1.24. But, yeah, as of late, I mean, he's really become the most dependable pitcher for Arizona. You know, had a decent start last time out against the Brewers, but before that went 7 innings at KC, 6 hits, no runs. His strikeout to walk ratio was 2-1, so he's doing a lot of good things in that D-backs rotation, and he's still young. He's 25, so, you know, this is a guy that's, you know, they might be limiting him inning-wise, I don't know, but because of his age and inexperience, but definitely a guy you want to pick up for a few starts at least. You know, he's going to provide you with at least a quality start here and there.
Definitely a good spot start stream option, especially playing in the National League West with those nice ballparks at San Francisco, at L.A., at San Diego. If he's in one of those starts, you want to pick him up and stream him. Owned in just 38% of leagues. We saw with Josh Colemanter last season, these random Diamondbacks guys can provide fantasy value. And Wade Miley doing a good job holding off Tyler Skaggs and Trevor Bauer, the big prospects down in the minors. Gonna go to my 3-up player this week, and I'm gonna say nice things about the Mets. It's so nice of me. My 3-up player is R.A. Dickey. This guy has been on fire all season, 7-1, shut down the San Diego Padres on Sunday, 7 1/3 innings with 10 strikeouts. Knuckleball pitcher, we all know it. You think, oh, he's wild, it's the knuckleball. No. 61-17 K to walk this year. A whip of 1.10. I read that he actually has the second highest strike percentage in the National League right now. He's actually been bumped up. He was the Mapes Fantasy Special on the weekend watch on 3u3d.mlblogs.com this weekend. At that time, he was just 48% owned, so he was allowed to be in that. But now he is 65% owned. This guy needs to be 85-90% owned. He is doing everything possible for that Mets rotation and still a decent pitcher's park, even though they move in the fences. I'm going to go over to 3 down now, and Brian has been chomping at the bit. One of these days, weeks, Brian, we're going to make a 3 down player be a Texas Ranger and make you say mean things, but not this week. Who's your 3 down player?
Good luck getting me to say bad things about the Rangers. it's none other than Seattle Mariners closer Brandon Leake, and I'm looking at his pitcher right now, and it looks like he finally shaved off that soul patch he had going on. That thing was hideous, but that's not why he's 3 down. He is 3 down because he has been removed from the closer's role of the Seattle Mariners. They're going to go closer by committee now, because he blew his 4th save of the season on Friday against the Angels. His ERA this season is 4.43, 9 saves and 13 opportunities. WHIP is 1.62, which isn't horrible if you're a starter. As a closer, that's pretty bad. So he's only pitched in 2 innings in the last week, and one of those is a blown save. So not doing so great right now.
I think that the Mariners might give the first shot to Tom Wilhelmsen. He hasn't been that good this year either. Started off the season well. They might give him a shot in that closer role. But, again, the Mariners right now, you want to avoid that situation just like you want to avoid the Cubs closer situation right now. Going to go over to Angelo. Who is your 3-down player from the American League Central this week?
My 3-down player makes me smile because I laughed at this team for making the trade last year. So this gentleman pitches for the Cleveland Indians, goes by the name Ubaldo Jimenez. His last outing against the White Sox gave up 7 hits, 7 runs, 4 walks over 4 innings. Ladies and gentlemen, that's almost a whip of a 3. You're not going to win. You're not going to any ball games with a whip of a 3, I don't think, in Major League Baseball. I would just say sell, sell, sell. He just has never been very consistent. Well, actually, he's not been consistent at all in Cleveland, so that is my down player.
All right. Jeremy, over to you. We had a Diamondbacks player as 3 up. Do we have a Diamondbacks player as 3 down?
We do have a Diamondbacks player as 3 down. Last year's ace, the almost Cy Young winner last year, Ian Kennedy, kind of came out of nowhere last year, had a fantastic season, but, man, he is just... He's really, his ERA has ballooned this year. It's up to 4.65 right now. He's 3-5, and he's lost his last 5 starts. And then the month of May has not been nice to him. He's got a 6 ERA in that month. His whip for the season's up to 1.37. So I'm wondering, and I'm assuming the D-backs front office is wondering the same thing, is Ian Kennedy returning to pre-2011 form? I mean, he's got a career 3.77 ERA, which isn't awful, but, you know, it's not ace status. So if the D-backs are looking at the old Ian Kennedy instead of the 2011 version, then they might be sticking with our 3-up guy, Wade Miley, for the most important games of the season from now on.
All right, that'll do it for 3-up, 3-down this week. Hopefully we've provided you with a little bit of fantasy goodness there. We've been pretty good so far this season. Gonna go to our matchups to watch this week, and we're gonna start it off with the AL West matchup. Another big divisional matchup there between the 1-2 coming into the season on paper. Brian, what's your matchup to watch?
Well, I mean, I apparently keep getting stuck with the Rangers every week, so I'm gonna have to go with it again. Well, Rangers Angels Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, with this Jerry Weaver injury, he says he hopes to pitch this weekend. We'll see. I don't know if it's going to happen. The big story is going to be on Saturday. Yu Darvish versus CJ Wilson, episode 2. Let's see if this one actually pans out as the last one did because it got called for rain. This one's in L.A. I don't think it rains there much, so this should work out just fine.
It's very hard, Brian, to try and have a matchup to watch in the AL West involving the Mariners or the Athletics.
We did it the first week because it was the only game, the only games on.
That's true. That is completely true. That happened. Gonna go over to the American League Central. Angelo, your matchup to watch this week.
Well, I was in between two here. I've got either the current Red Sox Tigers series to go on. But I'm going to go with the Tigers-Yankees series, basically because you've got Verlander pitching in the series, so anytime Verlander pitches, good things can happen, just for baseball history in general. So Yankees is a 3-game series. It's in Detroit. Yankees need wins, Tigers need wins, so both teams are desperate. So it should be some entertaining baseball.
All right, and my American League East matchup to watch this week is the Orioles and the Rays. They are currently both tied for first place in the American League East at 29-20. The Orioles are against the Blue Jays to start this week while the Rays host Chicago, but they will settle down this weekend against each other. Some solid pitching matchups. The aforementioned Wei-Yin Chen, 4-1 with a 3.31 ERA, taking on David Price on Friday. Saturday will be Brian Mattis coming off a decent start this past weekend against defending AL Rookie of the Year Jeremy Hellickson. And on Sunday, Tommy Hunter against Matt Moore. Matt Moore may be back to the Matt Moore we expected coming into this year as he shut down the White Sox today but got matched up against the almighty Chris Sale. Going over to the National League East, my matchup to watch is the Marlins and the Nationals because right now I don't want to watch the Braves. They're angering me. I've been throwing things. My blood pressure is rising. My family's starting to get worried that I've been crying a lot because Freddie Freeman can't cry because of his dry tear duct, so he's not playing. Brian McCann has the flu, so he hasn't been playing. Mike Minor can't pitch. Michael Bourne's our only good player right now. And that's about it. So I'm going to watch the Marlins and Nationals, and I'm going to root for my boyfriend, Giancarlo Stanton, who homered today. How about that? How about we the Braves trade for Giancarlo Stanton? Everything will be better in the world. But what is it? Marlins Nationals. They played today. The Marlins won today. Heath Bell actually did not suck. That was a good job by him. But tomorrow's game is Edwin Jackson versus Anibal Sanchez. Anibal Sanchez leading the league in quality starts so far this season. And then on Wednesday, the returning Chingming Wong, who sent Ross Detweiler to the bullpen, taking on Josh Johnson Thursday. No game. Only three games Thursday. That's terrible. What am I going to do? I'm going to actually have to work on Thursday day. There's supposed to be day baseball that day. It's crap. There are no National League Central and NL West matchups to watch this week. They're just not good enough. Maybe Reds Pirates. Pirates coming on a little bit with James McDonald, but KP, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to taunt Jeremy about beating his Dodgers tonight. Just yell at him. He needs to be knocked off a peg.
I mean, he gave us our 20th win of the season. Woo! But, I mean, I guess ultimately it's kind of like bittersweet because he kind of won. Jonathan Lucroy is out for 4 to 6 weeks. But John Axford also got his first save since shaving his beautiful facial hair off, which I wish he would cut off the big flow. I kind of liked him when he was like a rookie. He came up. It was a nice, clean cut. He was just kind of this guy who threw really hard and had a nasty curveball. And now he's kind of embraced this alter ego, I guess. And I don't know. Aramis Ramirez, I mean, talk about a clutch hitter, right, Jeremy?
Hey, KP.
Hey.
Guess who's back tomorrow?
AJ Ellis.
Oh, he's always back.
Have you guys looked at tomorrow's pitching matchup?
No.
It's two guys I've never even heard of.
Who do we have? Estrada?
It's some guy named Fears. I'm going to get yelled at by somebody for Michael Fiers for the Brewers.
You never heard of Eovaldi?
He has two innings in his career for the Brewers.
Who is this guy?
And Eovaldi for Nate Eovaldi.
Don't worry, you guys.
Who's that? Six starts in it. Oh, yeah. He's so great. 3.63 ERA.
Don't worry, you guys. Michael Fierce is from Hollywood, Florida, so he's good.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
If there's anything I know about people from Hollywood, Florida, they're good at baseball.
Eovaldi, 23 strikeouts, 20 walks in his career. Yeah, that's real good.
Hey, he's still young. Give the kid a chance.
I'll probably end up watching the game anyway just for Vin Scully. That's it.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh.
But
I want to make a bet with you, Jeremy, but what do you bet? Tomorrow's game, though. I mean,
I think you guys should only bet on tomorrow's game.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Just the randomness of those guys.
But it would have to
bet Ryan Braun will do more steroids tomorrow than Matt Kemp.
But Matt Kemp was born with steroids.
All right, there you go. How about if the Dodgers win, KP has to change his Twitter profile picture to AJ Ellis.
Ooh.
If the Brewers win, Jeremy has to change his Twitter picture to a picture of Jonathan Lucroy.
Okay.
Can I change mine to AJ Ellis if we lose?
No. Till the next podcast.
Ooh.
For a week?
For a week.
All right.
The next podcast.
I can do that.
Jeremy?
Okay.
Digitally shake on it?
Yeah, shaking.
All right, that'll do it for us this week. I'm glad we got our first bet in, live betting. It's always good. Always good when not involving money that'll get you arrested. That's going to do it for us. I'd like to thank everybody once again for joining me this evening. Jeremy Dorn, KP, Kurt Peter, the two Betmakers, Angelo Felicia, Brian Boynton, and myself, Brian Mapes. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's at 3U3D. Like us on Facebook, 3Up, 3Down, on that little social media engine. You can email us 3U3DBaseball@gmail.com. If you have questions, maybe you would like some fantasy advice. If you think we do a good job on that, you want to yell at us about something, you want Jeremy to shut up about AJ Ellis, just email in and tell us. We'll do what the fans want. We'll do what the fans want. People power. And last but not least, 3U3D.mlblogs.com. We are plus 900 views April versus May with three days to go. So we appreciate everybody clicking the blog and reading that. Coming June 1st or 2nd, depending on that, I will have the too early MLB awards as opposed to the way too early I did last month. I'm still deciding now between Lance Lynn and Wade Miley, our 3-up player for National League Rookie of the Year at this point. Should be an exciting one. That'll do it for us. We have run out of time. We will get to Eddie Mata the next.